This morning's joke, I got to thinking about this a while ago. Anytime a joke is about a little boy, they always pick the name Johnny, little Johnny. Heather, you know why that would be so? Well, little Johnny, his family had guests for dinner, and the dessert was apple pie. Mom cut the pieces, and little Johnny carried them to the table. He gave the first piece to his dad, who passed it to the guest. Little Johnny came in with the second piece and gave it to his dad, who again gave it to the guest. This was too much for little Johnny. He said to his dad, "It's no use. The pieces are all the same size." This service is going to get the full-length sermon. We'll see how time is going in the second service. Kind of a big basketball game happened this morning. I don't know why a number one team plays at 11:10 on a Sunday morning. They need to rethink things. They need to put the lower seeds playing at that time. Anyhow, we're going to continue this morning looking at this message, this sermon series, the message this morning, continuing, looking back at Adam and Eve and how that points us towards Easter. Over this past year, how many of you have given something up at some point? Anybody? How many of you have given something up and it really wasn't your decision? It's been that way. It's been that way over the past year where we have had to relinquish or not been able to do certain things over the past year. And this time of the year that Linda spoke of, it's the season of Lent. And Lent is modeled after the 40 days of Jesus' temptation in the desert, and where Christians will forego something. Some people will give up, beets. Or something. You give up something that you really desire in your life, and it helps to you to point yourself towards Jesus. It is a healthy, it is a good practice, because when we're forced or we choose to give up something, that God, He always wants us to be seeking after Him. And whether in the past year you've been forced to have given up something in your life, or you chose that in this past year, that God wants to use that. He wants to work on us and continue to strengthen our relationship, our faith in God and His Son Jesus Christ, that these all experiences in life can be used to sharpen us, to mold us, to make us more like Christ and strengthen our faith. Lent begins with Ash Wednesday and continues on for 40 days. And to be clear, the Ash Wednesday, Lent, it's not mentioned in the Bible, but it's a practice that many Christians follow. But one thing that is mentioned in the Bible often is ash or dust. That God uses this picture of dust or ash to teach us an important lesson. And we've been going through the book of Genesis at the beginning and looking at how sin through Adam and Eve came into the world and the fallout, the implications, the consequences of sin and how severe they are. But it gives us an appreciation, I would hope, for what God did on Easter. On that day that Jesus, on that Sunday that Jesus resurrected from the grave, that when they came to the tomb, that the stone was rolled back and it was empty and nothing was left but the folded up burial cloths. That sin, that when it entered the world, that God, just shortly into His story, prophesied in Genesis 3:15 that He would send a Messiah. That Satan would not be able to rule. That Eve's seed would crush the head of Satan. And that's exactly what happened on Easter. You go back to Genesis chapter 3 verse 19, where God is telling Adam about the curse that's coming into the world through sin. And He says this, "For dust you are, and to dust you'll return." And God is using dust to represent how temporary our lives are. For just a short moment in time that we live and breathe on this earth, and that from dust we come and to dust we will return. David writes in Psalm 39 verse 4, "Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is." And I think David wrote this psalm because often we have the tendency to take for granted the life that God gives us. The dust that we are. We have the tendency to think, I'm going to live longer, or I have more time. And David is trying to remind himself, he's reminding us, that life is temporary. It's but nothing but a mist, a vapor in the air that's only there for a short time, and it disappears. That life is very fragile, and we shouldn't take it for granted. And I think this past year has been a really harsh reminder of just how temporary life can be. That we don't know what the next days hold. God does. He's in full control, but we don't. That life is very temporary. It's very fragile. And you're probably thinking, wow, this is depressing. I got up to come here to listen to this. But I think it's a good reminder for you and for myself. From dust we come, to dust that we return. Genesis 3:19, this isn't the verse of scripture that you stencil on the living room wall. It's not the scripture they put on a Christian t-shirt, but it's a very good reminder of how fragile life is. And it has a way of putting into our minds a reminder to not take advantage or take disregard for what God has given us in our lives. And to not think too highly of one's self. There was a book written by a man named Paul Stoltz. It's called Adversity Quotient. There's been this idea that a person, how well they'll succeed in life was based on their IQ. But he wrote this book after studying that it's not really your IQ that will be the end all of how successful you are in your life. But rather, it's your AQ, your adversity quotient. And summing this book up, he's saying, it's how well you deal with adversity that will depend about how successful you will be in life. You really can't change much your IQ, but you can change your adversity quotient. How well you do at overcoming adversity. And you see this with lots of people. You see this with athletes. You see this with people in the business world. You think of Abraham Lincoln. Went through tremendous adversity, but he never gave up. He must have had an extremely high AQ because he never let adversity stop him. He continued on. And what's going to help you and I overcome more than anything else? It's going to be God. A strong faith in God will help us to overcome the adversity that we face in this life. When we realize that we are but nothing of dust, that we are going to face difficulties as a repercussion of sin, and we need that adversity in our lives. Charles Spurgeon in the mid-1800s was a very popular and famous preacher in England. He had a congregation of over 5,000 people. He would go to the coal mines in England and he would preach when they were on their lunch breaks to some of the most hardened people in England. And he's famous for a lot of the sermons that he wrote and a lot of quotes and sayings that he had. And I want to read to you something that he said in one of his sermons. And this individual, Charles Spurgeon, he went through a lot of loss, a lot of adversity in his life. And he wrote this. You have lost much, but you haven't lost your portion. Your God is your all. Therefore, if you have lost everything except God, you still have your all left, since God is all. Would you agree? But that can be hard to say at times, can't it? But it's having that adversity. The text does not say that God is only part of our portion, but the whole portion. Imagine that it is daylight, the sun is shining bright, and I am holding a lighted candle. Someone blows it out. Should I sit down and cry because my candle has been extinguished? No, not while the sun still shines. God is my portion, and if I lose some little earthly comfort, I will not complain, for heavenly comfort remains. That's a wonderful paragraph, but that's hard to live out. There's a lot of adversity in this life that we have to try to overcome. And there are plenty of things in life that'll blow out your candle. There's sickness, there's death, there's financial struggles, there's relationship hardships. There are plenty of things in this life to blow out your candle. But if you know Jesus as your Savior and God as your Father, then guess what? the sun still shines. But life has a way of putting adversity in our path as a result of sin, but we have to try to overcome. And this time of the year, as we are getting ready to celebrate Easter, I would hope puts a little more hope in your life, a little more trust in God. And I think each day that we are given, it's a blessing. That this life is very fragile, and that each morning that you wake up is another blessing that God has given you. And I think we need to make a routine each day of counting that as a blessing, that God has afforded us another day. To remind yourself that today the sun still shines. Despite the adversity, the sun still shines. That each day is a blessing. Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me, I will remain in you. And so each day we need to remain in the sun, regardless of the adversity that we face. I want to read Psalm 121. Verse 1, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. The sun still shines. And our life is dust. From dust to dust we return. And for that short time in history, we have breath in our lungs on this earth. And we need to acknowledge how great God is. And recognize that the sun still shines. In Psalm 103, verse 14, for he knows how weak we are, he remembers we are only dust. And I think recognizing how fragile life is, that can give us some reassurance of how much God loves us. But I think there's something else that we need to recognize, is that God desires for in us that there's humility. That we humble ourselves before God because of how he has blessed us, which each and every day that he gives us. That being repentant is a key in acknowledging how great God is and how big our God is. Take Job, for example. Job lost his health. He lost his wealth. He lost his family. His entire life went down the drain. And how did Job respond? He says, I repent in dust and ashes. He recognized how fragile life is. We're but dust. And he was repentant before God. Fire burned down his barns. Fire destroyed his crops. And what's he do? He sits down in the ash, in the dust of what represented his life. He acknowledged that all that he had was dust. And he was repentant before God. That his identity, that what people knew of him was his possessions, his family. Hey, Kenny. And he sits down in ash, in dust, in repentance before God because he knows how great and how big God is. And with all that we've went through this past year and everything that's happened, I think for many of us, we've watched our idols be destroyed. Think about it. Perhaps it's been your business, financial portfolio, political power, sports, the arts. What is an idol? An idol is anything that you put more important in your life than God. And I think many of us have been so frustrated in the past year because our idols have been taken away. I think there's a lot of people in our society, in our culture, who the things that they thought were so important for maybe just a moment in time was taken away or not allowed, and we got very up in arms because our idol had been taken away. I think about myself. Last year, March Madness was about to begin. Illinois was going to make the Big Ten, or make the tournament for the first time, it seems like decades. It's not been decades, but it feels like it. I was a little bit mad. And I think any time we travel through adversity, God uses that to grow our faith, to strengthen our faith in Him. And the greatest commandment is to love God and love others. And unfortunately, over the past year, I don't know that we've really advanced in loving God. And certainly, as it just seems as a whole in our culture, loving others has went out the window for many. And what happens, just like with Job, he had no say-so in the matter. He didn't cause it to happen, but it happened to him. Everything that he knew was taken away. And what did we see in his character? He realized how fragile life was. He sat down literally in the dust, in the ash, and he repented before God. Because he acknowledged that what he knew on this earth that is so temporary was more important perhaps than his relationship with God. And so for you and I, we have to acknowledge how fragile life is. From dust we come, to dust we will return. And so we sit in the ashes and we want to say, it'll be okay, we don't have to worry about it, but we need to be repentant people. If you call yourself a Christian, you have to have enough humility in you to be repentant. We have to repent of our pride, of our arrogance, of our independence, finding security in earthly things. Because all those things are stumbling blocks before our relationship with God. Anytime I do a funeral, there's always a tension there. There's a tension between giving comfort to the family, but conversely, giving accountability. I always try to comfort the family, but there needs to be accountability for your life. The one you lost, the one who's deceased, that pains, but you're still left. And there needs to be accountability for your lives. And perhaps over the past year, God's been waiting on each and every one of us individually to maybe make some changes in our lives. To acknowledge who God is and how fragile this life is, and to be repentant before Him. I've heard it said of funerals like this: a funeral is a time to gently close the eyes of the dead and open the eyes of the living. I want to say that again. A funeral is a time to gently close the eyes of the dead and open the eyes of the living. And perhaps over the past year, God's been trying to open our eyes. He's been trying to open our eyes to the fact that this life is very fragile, that we're not guaranteed tomorrow, and that we need to acknowledge God in our lives. From dust we come, to dust we return, and one day we'll stand before God and have to give account for the dust that we were given. And that's a serious matter. It's sad to think, I'm dust. Kind of sounds insignificant. I think it's even more sad to not consider the fact that you are dust and that one day you'll return to dust. But in the meantime, God gives us this life to make decisions. What did He tell Adam and Eve? You are free. You are free to make decisions. And so we are accountable for ourselves. It's no one else's responsibility, but it is ours to acknowledge how fragile this life is and that we need to acknowledge God in our lives. And so, we can imagine it like this. I'm just a speck of dust taking up space on the earth. That in comparison to the solar system, we're in the Milky Way galaxy, that we're a speck of dust on a speck of dust. That should make us feel slightly insignificant. We can think that we think highly of ourselves at times, and that we aren't as significant as we think. There was a picture, it's on the screen, taken in 1990 from the Voyager spacecraft. It's about 4 billion miles from Earth. It's called the pale blue dot. Little arrows pointing at Earth. What's that look like? I think it looks like a speck of dust. in our solar system, it seems pretty insignificant. You feel kind of small looking at that? I want to read a statement from an astronomer. His name is Carl Sagan. He doesn't describe himself as an atheist. He's more of an agnostic. But this is what he wrote. After they had taken this picture, he wrote this about his idea of Earth. Look again at that dot that's here. That's home. That's us. On it, everyone you love, everyone you know, everyone you've ever heard of, every human being who's ever lived out their lives, the aggregate of your joy and suffering, thousands of confident religions, ideologies, and economic doctrines, every hunter and forger, every hero and coward, every creator and destroyer of civilization, every king and peasant, every young couple in love, every mother and father, hopeful child, inventor and explorer, every teacher of morals, every corrupt politician, every superstar, every supreme leader, every saint and sinner in the history of our species lived there on a mote of dust suspended in a sunbeam. The earth is a very small stage in a vast cosmic arena. Think of the rivers of blood spilled by all those generals and emperors so that in glory and triumph they could become the momentary masters of a fraction of a dot. Think of the endless cruelties visited by the inhabitants of one corner of this pixel on the scarcely distinguishable inhabitants of some other corner. How frequent their misunderstandings, how eager they are to kill one another, how fervent their hatreds. Our posturings, our image self-importance, the delusion that we have some privileged position in the universe are challenged by this point of pale light. Our planet is a lonely speck in the great enveloping cosmic dark. In our obscurity and all this vastness, there is no hint that help will come from elsewhere to save us from ourselves. The earth is the only world known so far to harbor life. This is nowhere else, at least in the near future, to which our species could migrate. Visit, yes. Settle, not yet. Like it or not, for the moment on the earth is where we make our stand. It has been said that astronomy is a humbling and character-building experience. There's perhaps no better demonstration of the folly of human conceits than this distant image of our tiny world. To me, it underscores our responsibility to deal more kindly with one another and to preserve and cherish the pale blue dot, the only home we've ever known. Now, while I don't share in his beliefs in God, his statements are kind of humbling. And so we recognize in the vastness of what God has created how insignificant we are, a speck of dust. And so you have to ask the question, does God love, does God value your speck of dust? Sin entered the world through Adam and Eve. Genesis 3:15, God spoke that he prophesied that he would send someone, a Savior. We read John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That this life is so fragile, and in the grand scheme of all of God's creation, we are very insignificant, but we are, and how great God is, His love for us, he still loves us despite how insignificant we are. And so, each and every day we wake up, we acknowledge how great God is, and that through his Son, he was able to reverse the curse of sin in our lives, and he was able to save us. And when we find ourselves in Christ, we know where we come from. We come from dust, but when you're in Christ, you know where you'll go. Our bodies may go to the ground, but our soul will be reunited with God. Dust to dust. I think every now and again we need to get knocked down a little bit because we think pretty highly of ourselves. A little pride swells and we think we're more than we are. We're a little more important than the next person. That's a dangerous place to live. That we need to acknowledge that we're accountable to God and that one day we'll stand accountable before him for the life that we've been given, just that momentary time, that we would acknowledge how valuable the life that we're given is, how valuable when you wake up every morning, that God has given us a blessing, and that we would acknowledge who God is, that we would be like Job, that we wouldn't put our trust and faith and hope in things on earth that define us, but it would be Christ that defines our lives. And we would acknowledge, even though we face adversity, the sin that crept into the world and has caused all kinds of problems for all people, that I can overcome it. I can overcome it because of Jesus. And when the weight of this life reminds you of just how difficult and fragile life can be, remember that the sun still shines. And that hope only comes from Jesus. And this morning we're going to worship in this song together. We're going to give God praise. And outside of being baptized into Christ, you don't know the full joy that God can give you and the hope of eternal life. And so this morning, if you would like to make a decision to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior and to be baptized, then we welcome you to at least start the conversation this morning if you feel led to. For many of you, you've already made that decision, and we're going to sing this song of praise to God. This might be the perfect opportunity to take the time to acknowledge, my life is very fragile, life is fleeting, but because I have faith in Jesus, I know where I'm going. Let's stand together and let's worship.